So friends, I would like to begin today in an uncharacteristically straightforward manner. The good news of this passage from Genesis, the good news of this passage is that God's creative activity in the world happens piece by piece. God's creative activity in the world happens piece by piece. Straightforward, yes it is, but it is a little abstract. So my goal in the next few minutes is to do what they say in the black church is to make it plain. Make it plain, preacher. Make it plain. So I think this good news that God's creative activity happens piece by piece is not just good news, but I think that it's also important news. And I think it's important news because if you are anything like me, namely if you are a human being, as you go through life, you're going to come into hard patches, you're going to go through rough spots, you're going to have troubles, trials, and tribulations. And if you're anything like me, when you meet those troubles, you're going to want God's help to get through them. And moreover, if you're like me, you're going to have this image in your head of how you want that situation to resolve itself. And you're going to want to get to that solution that you have in your head right away. Today is Sunday, and what I want to happen with this problem I'm facing is that I want to tuck myself into bed on Sunday night, and I want to wake up on Monday morning, and I want to wake up having found that overnight, God has flexed God's muscles, God has massaged and shifted reality in such a way that this problem that I was facing, this difficulty that I was going through, I would like to wake up and find that difficulty was gone. But the problem with that particular line of theology is that it has everything to do with the way that we would like God to work and nothing to do with the way that God actually works, at least according to Genesis 1:1 through Genesis 2:4. Now, I'd like to lift up a hypothetical example for you. I'd like to start maybe talking about finances. I was surprised to find that the average American has $132,000 of debt. Now, that's not the average American household. This is the average American. An individual person has $132,000 of debt. About $15,000 of that is credit card debt. About $48,000 of that are college loans. And after that, you have mortgages, auto loans, and what have you. Now, when you're facing a problem or a debt that big, I know a lot of us probably go to bed praying for a divine bailout. We would like to wake up overnight and find our debts have been erased, that our loans have been forgiven. That's the kind of change that we want to see. And because that's the kind of change we want to see, what happens is we often overlook the little small miracles that stack up around us. We're too busy looking over there that we miss all the miracles that are the small miracles that are lying at our feet. We miss the fact that, you know, we had a hard week at work. We're tired. We're bone weary. After church, we want to go home, sit on the couch. The Sox are playing the Jays today. Maybe you want a beer. We won't hold that against you. And you're tired. And you get home from church, and even though you're tired, you're walking by the kitchen table. You see the newspaper there. You see the circulars in there. And even though you're so tired from this long week of work, you somehow find a little spark of energy. You find the discipline, you know, to sit down and spend 10, 15 minutes cutting coupons. 2-for-1 laundry detergent. You just saved $8 that you can put towards that debt. 50 cents off Colgate toothpaste. 50 cents off that debt. That energy and that discipline came from somewhere. And if you're looking for a big, total, immediate solution to your problems, you'll have overlooked that little miracle that took place. Then on Monday, you're going to work. You pass that Starbucks that you stop in every day. It's your Starbucks. And as you're walking by, that green and white mermaid on the door is singing her siren song. Your stomach and your tongue and your mind start conspiring against you. Because you know that in those doors, inside those doors, there awaits you a venti, salted, caramel, mocha, frappuccino with extra whipped cream. You know it. And although you've never once passed by that door, as you're entering in, somewhere deep inside you, you find this well of spirit, you find this willpower that you never before had, and you're able to close the door, walk on by, and you just saved yourself $4.95 plus tax that you can put towards that debt. Dollar by dollar, cent by cent, piece by piece, these miracles stack up. It's not an instantaneous overnight change. God's creative activity in the world happens piece by piece. So back in 2001, there was a guy by the name of John Feal, F-E-A-L, John Feal. And he was the youngest foreman at the demolition and excavation company at which he worked. And on the morning of September 11th, John and his crew were working a job site about an hour north of the city. And as they were there grading off a property, they heard over the radios in their trucks, they heard the news that first one plane had hit one World Trade Center tower, and then a second plane had hit another. And then they got the startling news that they both had come crumbling, crashing down to the ground. Now, John immediately recognized the gravity of the situation. And so he gathered his crew in and he told them that if they wanted to, they could go home to be with their families. This is the kind of time that you need to go and be with your families. But, John said, I need to go down and help with the search and rescue efforts. I'm a professional excavator. I have skills in this area. I need to go down and help. And so he gathered a couple volunteers from his crew and they raced down to Ground Zero. And they raced down to what became known as the pile. It was about 8 stories of cement and plaster and steel. And the steel was so hot that fire would just burst out of places in the ground. And there's 2 things as you need to know about the pile, as no doubt you'll see images on the news tonight. You'll see things come across your Facebook feed. When you're looking at the pile, there's 2 things you need to know. The first is that while it looks like a mountain, it looks like a real solid mountain, like something straight out of Mordor, it's in fact not a solid mountain, but it was just a pile of loose debris, which means that as people walked on it, the slightest misstep could cause just literally tons of steel and cement to come avalanching down onto you. It wasn't a solid mountain. And the second thing you need to know is that when you're looking at these pictures and you see hundreds of people on top of this unsafe pile of loose debris, you need to know that the vast majority of those people were not trained professionals. They were not policemen and firefighters and paramedics and professional excavators like John Feal. They were bystanders. They were people in the area who heard about this disaster and felt a call on their heart that they needed to come and help with the search and rescue efforts. So John Feal and his crew arrived and they stood before this massive pile of rubble. And who would have blamed them if, at looking at that pile of rubble, if they had turned around and walked away? Who would have blamed them if they looked at that pile of rubble and just gave up hope? But thank God for John Feal and his crew. Thank God for all those volunteers who looked at that pile of rubble And they knew that the work of love and the work of mercy was a piece-by-piece kind of activity. And so they got on top of that dangerous heap of metal and cement, and literally piece-by-piece, they sorted through the rubble trying to find survivors. Now, miraculously, 11 people were actually pulled. Only 11. I know that's a small number, but for what had happened, that was actually a miracle. 11 people were saved by this piece-by-piece activity, this piece-by-piece work. God's creative activity in the world happens piece-by-piece. The work of love, the work of mercy, and the work of justice happens piece-by-piece. Friends, the long and short of this first part of Genesis is this. Now, the hard work of discipleship is that we're not to stand on the ground that God created on Wednesday and lose hope because God has yet to create the fishes and the birds. We're not to lose hope. We're not to get discouraged. I would say hold your horses, but horses aren't created till Saturday. The work of discipleship is to stand on the ground that God created on Wednesday and trust that little by little, piece by blessed piece, God will get us to those birds and fishes. God will get us to where we need to go. Amen.